Romans chapter 10. Would you look there with me for a little while here tonight? This month we are giving emphasis to revival and reaching out to friends and neighbors. And Sister Sharon said she brought her friends early tonight. She's got one of her teachers, ladies that used to be her one of her teachers, and she said she had a lot of stories to tell on Sharon, so we'll get in on those later. And then her friend, her neighbor, is with her, so we appreciate her being here and everybody else that's here in the service tonight. Sister Bustle, glad that she's able to be here. But we're asking the Lord to help us with a mindset toward considering the fact that there are many people within our reach that are lost. Amen. Romans chapter 10, Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a wonderful foundational verse that should be encouraging to all of us to know that God is no respecter of persons, and that whoever, and I love the word whosoever. It's a King James Version word, but I love that word. Whosoever, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That just expresses the simplicity of the gospel. How easy it is for someone to hear, to believe, and get saved. Amen. Too often, we overcomplicate it. So let's believe the Lord. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? The word there just means a proclaimer of the gospel, not necessarily a pastor or someone that stands in the pulpit to preach. But how will they hear if there's not someone to proclaim it, someone to declare it? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Amen. W. E. Sangster said that there are two easy statements or two easy questions that would cause the 20th century Christian to be embarrassed. Here's the two questions. Number one, when is the last time you personally led another person to Jesus Christ? The second one, when is the last time you tried? He said those two questions are questions that if asked to most Christians, most evangelical churches, it would probably embarrass them. And they certainly wouldn't want to be put on the spot if asked those questions. But we do have a calling and we do have a responsibility to declare the gospel. All of us. Not just those that stand in the pulpit, not those that maybe have the gift, natural gift to talk to people, but every one of us have a responsibility. And I think that if we would just take a few minutes here tonight to consider what will happen whenever you do reach that person. And the kind of a result there will be in your life if you become a person that is reaching unsaved people. Psalm 126 verse 6 says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. There is joy and rejoicing. There's rejoicing in the presence of angels, the Bible says, when one sinner is saved. And I know that if heaven erupts with joy and praise, that's the same kind of a spirit that ought to be prevalent here among us. Just happiness, joy that comes because one sinner gets saved. When people come to the Lord. And when you begin to move into this mindset of, I want to reach some people for Jesus. I want to be a soul winner. I want to do my part to reach someone and to proclaim the gospel to them. There's one of the results that will take place is that you'll have a newfound joy that you haven't experienced before. A joy that comes from winning the lost. Psalm 126 there is describing this person who is a farmer who goes out into the field. It's a time of barrenness, and so seed is not plenteous. And so he has to take the grain in his hand, and he goes out and is weeping. Why is he weeping? He's weeping because the grain is precious. He either can grind it into meal and feed his family, maybe just a couple of more times, or he can sow it in the ground, and then it will bring forth fruit. As a matter of fact, the promise here is that if he goes out weeping because of the preciousness of the seed that he holds in his hand, but once he invests it, once he sows it, the Bible says he will doubtless come again with rejoicing, bearing his sheaves with him. He'll come back after a period of time, after he's sown the seed, and he'll reap a harvest, and that the harvest is just a celebration of the plentiful supply of God. So that's the result that takes place whenever an individual becomes a soul winner, when a church becomes a church that is consumed with the idea that we are called of God to reach the world. Well, what do we know about the world? We know that the world is blind. We know the world is lost. We know that the world is, there's many lost. There are more people on this planet that don't know Jesus than know him. It's a small majority, or a small percentage rather, of people that live in this at this time that know the Lord Jesus Christ, that such a small number that even right now in our nation, things are happening quickly. And Islam is growing in America. Buddhism is growing in America. A lot of other false ideology is growing in America. Sad to say, the church in Christianity is losing ground. And the result, or the reason for that, is that the church is not taking evangelism seriously. Amen. We've got to take it seriously. If you have, you've heard people say, and I use the term evangelical. We are evangelicals. We're Pentecostal. We're holiness. We have a lot of different things that describe who we are. And we're also under the category of evangelical, not the same as evangelistic. An evangelical is a person who espouses, he believes in the Christian faith. He believes in the Bible. He believes in salvation. He believes in the new birth. He believes in being that the gospel can bring transformation to your life. The basic tenets of an evangelical church is if you're an evangelical, it just simply means these are the things I believe. But an evangelistic church is not an evangelical church, because he does not just believe these things, but he is actively seeking to convert the lost to Jesus Christ. So you can be an evangelical and say, I believe in Jesus, and I believe in the Bible, and I believe that the gospel has power to save, and I believe in the new birth. I believe in all these things, but it's all just a doctrine, just a dogma. It's just what you believe in, unless it becomes something that you are actively pursuing. You are an evangelical if that's what you believe, but you're an evangelistic church if you are actively involved in going after sinners. Amen. So I'm okay to be called evangelical, but I don't want to be that and not evangelistic. Amen. I don't want to just have a system of beliefs. I want to believe it, but I want to also be actively involved in reaching out to the world that needs to know Jesus Christ. Amen. I just want you to think with me again practically about our community and about the time that we're living in right now. Because right now, we live in a different world than we lived in 30 years ago, 50 years ago, 60 years ago. A lot of things are different. While we're right here, you know, kind of a hub, right in the center of town. And I'm grateful that we have this wonderful location where hundreds and maybe thousands of people drive by our church on a regular basis. But one of the problems with that is that we just become a part of the landscape. And you ask people, what church? Where is your church? And you have to go down the list of different things and say, well, it's a big round church down on the south end of town. Okay, and they're thinking. And you have to say things like, well, we're just down the street from Ormsby's, now across the street from Ormsby's. Or we're right next door to Papa John's Pizza. Or we're catty-cornered from Sonic. And you have to just keep saying things until finally they become aware. And it shouldn't be that way. It should be that we are known in the community and that we are placed here. And I do believe that God, you know, He placed us here for a reason, and not just to get lost in the landscape of South Main Street, but He's placed us here to be influencing people to know Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. And so we are to be an evangelistic church. A lot of times when you hear that word evangelistic, a lot of images come to your mind. You think about Billy Graham and crusades, and when you think of evangelistic, you think of tent revivals and evangelists. You know, there are not very many people that travel all the time as evangelists anymore. And really, many of those that do travel are not really what you would call evangelist in the biblical sense. Because many times they come and they're preaching to the church, or they're challenging the church and encouraging the church, and that's okay. But an evangelist is someone who's very specifically after souls. Amen. Reaching for the lost, believing for the lost. And so as God has placed us here, we're not here just to reach just the few that live around where our church is located, but I believe that the Lord has called us to be a regional church. And people don't think anything anymore about driving 15 miles, 20 miles, 25 miles. They used to. That's the reason why that back in those early days, the 40s and the 50s, when Pentecost was kind of spread all over the county, there was a Carmichael Church and a Colony Church and a Hazel Green Church, and all these different churches were community-oriented churches. And everybody in the community went to that church. And that was all well and good, but that was before people drove very far. Now we don't think nothing about it. People drive to Richmond or Lexington, they don't think one thing about it now. Distance is not like it used to be. And so we are not a church that's reaching out to the 2 or 3 mile radius of where we're located here. We are called to be a regional church. And we just need to keep going out and reaching out to people wherever they might be. Amen. And as an evangelistic church, that's what the Lord has called us to be. Amen. 44% of people say the reason that they would try a new product, this is in sales, 44% of people that say that they would try out a new product because of a word of mouth testimony. Amen. The most powerful advertising, more powerful than radio and TV, more powerful than newspaper, more powerful than anything, is your testimony of what God is doing in your life. Your testimony of what is happening and how God is blessing you and even of what He's doing in your life here in the ministry of this church, what God is doing. And that's the most powerful thing that influences people to be stirred up with a desire to know about the things of God. Amen. So we're to be evangelists, all of us. What if we turned this entire group of people into Holy Ghost filled evangelists who were constantly reaching out to people that were lost? And as a regional church, we're called of God that as long as there is one more person that's within our influence, our range of influence, whether that be 15 miles or 20 miles or whatever it is, if there are people that are unsaved, then we need to be reaching for them, going after them. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know how many churches in Laurel County. We're not in competition with any of them. We don't have to be. We don't need to be. There's already such a population of unsaved people and people that are away from God that we don't have to pull or proselyte or beg people to come from other churches because there are too many other people in the community that need Jesus. They need the Lord. I don't know what the numbers are. I've heard it thrown around that there's somewhere in the neighborhood of 150 churches in our county. That might be true. It might be more or less, but there's a lot. There are a lot of churches. That's of all various denominations and flavors in our community. If that's true, if it's true that there are 150 churches in our community, and if everybody in our reach is being touched, everybody is being saved, then every church should be running about 467 every Sunday. If we're reaching them all, sad to say, we're not. And so I'm sure that there are probably not more than maybe four or five churches in our county that have numbers like that, 460 people in their Sunday services, probably not more than four or five that have those kind of numbers. The rest of them are much less than that, much less than that. The average church in America is way under 100. It's about 80, 79 or 80 is the average size church in the United States of America. And that probably is pretty much the way it is on the average. And so from that we can determine, what we already know is that there are hundreds and thousands of people that are right here in our community that God has called us to, and we don't have to step over other people or proselyte somebody from other churches. We just need to get busy getting after unsaved people. Amen. As an evangelistic church, we are called to be evangelistic. And oh, how the world needs churches with an evangelistic zeal, an evangelistic burden, with a desire to see people brought in to the kingdom of God. Why? A lot of reasons, but we can see that what's going on in our world right now is the longer it is, the longer we wait, the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, that there are dark forces that are becoming so strong and prominent in our world that we're up against. And all of these dark forces are blinding the minds of the unsaved so that they can't hear and can't receive the message of the gospel. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. The closer we get to the coming of the Lord, they're going to close up their ears and their hearing to the truth. It says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Amen. That's what the Apostle Paul said to Timothy. Be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions and do the work of an evangelist. Amen. All of us, every one of us, we have this calling resting upon our shoulders here tonight. And there are great groups of people. When we talk about missions, we talk about people groups. And we have people groups all over the world and all over and even right here in our community. We have children, we have youth, there are teens within our reach in our community, and we need to be after them. We need to be pursuing these youth, these teens, while they're young and while they haven't thrown away their life. And then when they have such potential, we need to reach them when they're young. Reach these youth, reach these teenagers. Amen. 27% of United States teenagers that are not involved in a youth Sunday school class or a youth group, if invited, would participate and would like to participate in one. 27%. You say, well, that's not that very big percentage, but it's almost 3 out of 10. Almost 3 out of 10 young people, if they had someone say, would you come, they would respond. Amen. And if you witness to them, they would come. And so don't look at the negative downside of those that are hard-hearted and resistant. Just realize that there are people out there. There's a percentage. There's a little group of young people out there probably by great numbers, that if you'll be used of the Lord to reach out to them, to talk to them, to witness to them, they'll respond, they'll come, and they'll get help in the presence of God. Amen. Statistics show, and I'm just giving you a few things here tonight just to think about. Statistics show that if you lead a child to Christ, there's over a 30% chance of the whole family coming to salvation. If you lead a child to Jesus, there's a 30% chance that the whole family, amen. So we're not wasting our time when we're chasing kids down the hall, Brother Daryl, it's not a waste of time. It's difficult, it's challenging, but we're praying and asking the Lord to help us to plant the seed of truth in their heart. Amen. Praise God. Here was a statistic that was, to me, staggering. If you lead a husband or a father to Jesus, there's a 91% chance that his family will follow him. Wow. Amen. 91% chance that I don't know for sure where all these statistics come from, but they're just really food for thought. Just to consider the fact that if you'll go after the young people and you go out after different groups of people, that there's the potential of reaching their entire family for God. Amen. So winning souls brings joy into your life. Amen. Winning souls brings joy into your life. Winning souls builds the kingdom of God. Amen. Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Now, the first part of that verse is not, you know, it's not something separate from the last part of the verse. Amen. The fruit of the righteous is a tree. I mean, it's a big, fruitful tree with many branches and much, much fruit. Amen. He that winneth souls has the potential of reaching many. Reaching one has the potential of reaching many others. Amen. Glory to God. And that's what we're going to believe God to do. There is such a thing as spiritual momentum. That's really what revival is. Spiritual momentum is whenever God moves on one and then another and then another and another, and something begins to happen and lots of people begin to be affected by that, and it spills over on another and another. So it's a principle of the scripture, this spiritual momentum. I'll give you a couple of verses here tonight. Leviticus chapter 26 verses 7 and 8. You shall chase your enemies and they shall fall before you by the sword, and 5 of you shall chase 100. Now, I'm not doing my mathematics too well here tonight. 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. What's it saying? It's saying that there is such a thing as this dynamic of spiritual momentum. Amen. 5 can chase 100, and 100 can chase 10,000. I know this is talking about your enemies and destroying them, but I think the principle is pretty clear there, that whenever God begins to work and move, then he uses the numbers and begins to multiply again and again and again. You see it in the book of Acts. There are 3,000 that are saved and 5,000 are saved, and the numbers, and all the way up to one point in the book of Acts, God was adding to the church, and then I think it's about Acts chapter 7 or 8. Then he's multiplying the church. Amen. And the numbers are beginning, there develops this momentum. Amen. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 30. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight? Amen. Glory to God. Now, there's just something to be said for us getting together, working together, and realizing what we can accomplish for the glory of God. Is if one gets stirred up tonight, that'd be wonderful. But two, really getting stirred up would make a big difference. And then if a large percentage of us would somehow catch the vision for reaching people in our world, then the numbers, it would just become a spiritual momentum where God is sending people in and more are being touched for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is not something new to you, but it's a great illustration of how God can work in this respect. Sunday school teacher Edward Kimball witnessed to D.L. Moody. He was converted. J. Wilbur Chapman attended a D.L. Moody evangelistic meeting in Chicago in the 1870s and was saved under D.L. Moody. He later became a friend and a co-worker of D.L. Moody. And then later, a former baseball star joined up with them by the name of Billy Sunday and began to hold evangelistic meetings. He held one in Charlotte, North Carolina in 1924, and a men's prayer and fellowship group originally known as the Billy Sunday Layman's Evangelistic Club. Grew out of those meetings. It was this group that invited a man by the name of Mordecai Ham to Charlotte to hold evangelistic meetings in 1934. Mordecai Ham preached a sermon. There was a 16-year-old young man there by the name of Billy Graham who went forward, received Jesus as his Savior. And Billy Graham has preached to more people than anybody ever in the history of the world. Amen. Pretty incredible, isn't it? Pretty amazing what can happen when just one or just a few see the dynamic of spiritual momentum and how it can begin to touch the lives of a lot of people for the glory of God. Amen. I want you to be encouraged and I want you to be stirred to the possibility. When I said, I'm not just shooting in the dark when I say, I'm asking you to pray with me and help me fill up this building on Friend Day. I wasn't just saying that. I really do believe it. I really mean it. I mean it. And not only do we want to fill it up, but we also want to seek the Lord and pray and spend some time in fasting and prayer and preparation for that day so that there can be a move of God upon the hearts of people and they respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Do you see what can happen with just one or just two or just a few and how that your life affects another and another can be affected for the glory of God? It's an amazing thing. Winning souls will benefit and will grow the kingdom of God. Amen. And right here, right now in our country, when we are in a time of spiritual decline, if the statistics are accurate, the Evangelical Church of America has dropped 8% in the last number of years, and as far as attendance and membership in churches across America. That should disturb you, and it should also cause us to realize that we have a responsibility and a calling from God. Amen. Something like 70,000 people that live in Laurel County. I don't know how many of them are non-churchgoers, but there's hundreds and thousands that are roaming around out here on Sunday morning that are not going to church. Never or rarely go to the house of God by the thousands. And then if you want to expand the region and touch some of these other areas around us, it's not 70,000, but it could be twice as many of that are within the range of our influence of our church. Amen. When I sit behind the microphone at the radio station, many times I'm thinking, Lord, this is going out to people. And they can hear. I'm just not too many months ago, I was over in where Paul Pratt lives. What's the name of it? What is it? Cumberland. WYGE was coming through loud and strong. Now, it was lost in the mountains as I was driving back. It kind of fuzzed out and wasn't there very much yet. But right there in the Cumberland area, I was hearing it strong. Amen. And the gospel being broadcast is out there. The message of the gospel and to the region. We are called of God to be a regional church, not just a London City Community Church, but we're called of God to reach as many as we can. Amen. As many as we can. And to carry a burden for them, to be concerned for them, to do all that we can to bring them in to the kingdom of God. Amen. Now, I'm not going to embarrass you and ask you to raise your hand, but I want to go back to that question in closing here tonight from W.E. Sangster. He says, the easiest way to embarrass a congregation is to ask them two simple questions. Number one, when is the last time you personally led another person to Jesus? And number two, when is the last time you tried? Amen. So I'm not going to make you show your hand, lift your hand, or confess that. But I want you to think about it, pray about that, and ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to equip you and give you the ability to talk to people about the Lord, to reach for people. Amen. Yes, to bring them to church, but more important, that they would come to know Jesus Christ. Amen. And that you would be an instrument that God would use. How can they hear unless there's a proclaimer, someone to talk to them and to tell them about Jesus and to tell them about the gospel? Amen. I am concerned about the world. I'm concerned about our responsibility worldwide as far as missions is concerned. We don't want to lessen that burden. We want to hold steady and continue to support and pray got a missionary next weekend, next Sunday night, and we're a missionary church, but let's make sure that is lived out in our own personal ministry. Amen. Touching as many people, and every one of you, whether you're young or old, makes no difference. Every one of you are called of God and are responsible for people that you come in contact with. Do the work of an evangelist. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Lord, ignite a fire in us. Lord, stir us to see what the potential is, what the possibility is. If 5 can put 100 to flight and 100 can put 10,000 to flight, what could this group here do? What could we do, Lord, if we were obedient to your voice? How many potentially could be touched, could be reached for your kingdom? Oh, Lord. Lord, that our vision would be increased, that there would be no limitations, Lord, to what you will do and what you want to do. I ask you, Lord, that you would convict us and speak to us about our own calling and responsibility to our region right here that's lost. Our region that's lost, and begin to go after them. Hallelujah. Do a work in each individual in this service tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, glory to God.